I want to thank everyone for coming, both the returnees and the new members. And tonight we turn our attention to a new topic. We start after Pesach, the sugya of Asfiras Omer. We had the opportunity for several weeks to really pick apart a lot of both the specific issues of Asfiras Omer as well as the sort of the big picture items that cut across many different areas of halacha that express themselves in Asfiras Omer. Now, as we turn our attention towards the Shavuos, the Yontif Kabbalah Satorah, this Baruch Hashem coming soon, I wanted to take the opportunity sort of to stand at the intersection. Tefillah is definitely on our minds, and from the feedback that we had over the last week or two, I think tefillah in general will be our next the next area that we're going to be sinking our teeth into, both in halacha and in Lamdas and in Hashkafa. But I want to begin with a focus on Birkas HaTorah, because Birkas HaTorah is certainly an aspect of tefillah in the larger sense. Birkas HaTorah also, the Lamdas is fascinating. There are a number of intriguing questions to look at, and what we're going to find as well is that the bracha that we make on Torah is a bracha that also serves as a window to appreciating Torah. And to appreciate, as the sugya unfolds over the course of this week and perhaps next, to a window into what we might call the business and the pleasure of Talmud Torah. So different aspects of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that we're going to see expressed as we explore Birkas HaTorah. And as is so often the case in learning, the sinking one's teeth into what seem like detailed questions can end up in finding answers, can open big vistas. So we're going to begin with some specific questions. Let's actually begin with a Gemara. Let's begin with a Gemara on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Maseches Brachas Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph in the third parak. The Gemara says that near the two dots at the top, Amar of Yehuda, Minayin LeBirkas HaMazon LeAcharei Min HaTorah. How do we know that there's a mitzvah Min HaTorah, there's a mitzvah Doraisa of saying a bracha after eating? How do we know that Birkas HaMazon is Doraisa? Shenemar V'achalti V'Savata Uverachta. A pasuk in Parashas Ekev. Certainly a very familiar pasuk. Minayin LeBirkas HaTorah LeFaneha Min HaTorah. And then the Gemara sets up in a very parallel fashion. How do you know that you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to say a bracha after eating? And then how do you know that you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to say a bracha before Torah? Birkas HaTorah lefanem in HaTorah sheneh emar ki shem Hashem ekra havu godel lelokeinu. Pasuk near the very beginning of Shiras Ha'azinu. Ki shem Hashem ekra, when I call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, havu godel lelokeinu. You should give greatness to God. So I'm about to call out the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that requires first praising the Ribbono Shel Olam before apparently Limud HaTorah can be called the Kriyas Shem Hashem. The Vilna Gaon and others write, the Ramban already writes about this in a very beautiful fashion in the introduction to his Perush al HaTorah, that if Torah is our way of trying to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah is for humans a description, as it were, of Elokus, a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By learning his wisdom, we get a little bit of a sense of who he is. So we could call learning, calling his name. A name is a way of describing a person, of capturing someone's identity. So to call the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, could be a reference to learning Torah, which is one way to sort of get a handle, so to speak, on God. So that's what the Gemara says. It's Amora of Yehuda says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. That pasuk in Ha'azinu is teaching us this mitzvah that before you call the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before you study Torah, before you study HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, we need to first praise Him. Havu Godel Elokeinu. So here we have it. Two brachas daraisa. Brachas are typically dinam drabanan, important. Dinu drabanan, but dinu drabanan. Brachas are rarely daraisa, but the Gemara here tells us brachas chafalv. Here are two brachas which are min haTorah: Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. Now, there's a Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos that's an intriguing mystery, because it opens up a question and does and leaves it sort of in just beyond grasp. The Gemara at the very end of Maseches Machlis has the gematria that teaches us that there are tarayag mitzvahs, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara has a gematria, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Torah, the gematria of Torah is 611, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Moshe taught us 611 mitzvahs, plus the two of Aseres HaDibros, the Ribbono Shel Olam said directly to Klal Yisrael, 611 plus 2 is 13, the Gemara says, 613 mitzvahs. What the Gemara leaves out is, what are the 613 mitzvahs? There are definitely more than 613 dinim. There are more than 613 halachos. There are thousands, tens of thousands of halachos, maybe hundreds of thousands of halachos. So what do you mean there are 613 mitzvahs? So many gaonim and rishonim for hundreds of years were very taken by that Gemara and invested years of their lives trying to figure out which are the 613 mitzvahs. There were gaonim and rishonim who worked hard in what we call minyan hamitzvahs, working out which are the 613 mitzvahs. How do you figure out which ones qualify? The most famous counter of mitzvahs was definitely the Rambam. He wasn't the first and he wasn't the last, but the Rambam is a very famous count, and the Sefer Achinuch follows the Rambam's count of mitzvahs. And the Rambam was a very organized man. So the Rambam, section 2 of his Sefer HaMitzvahs is a list of the 248 mitzvahs asay, the 248 positive mitzvahs. Section 3 is a list of the 365 mitzvahs lo sase, 365 negative mitzvahs. So that's part 2 are all the mitzvahs sase, part 3 all the mitzvahs lo sase. Of course, what's missing is what's part 1. So part 1, because the Rambam was such an organized man, he said, we're not just going to sort of jump into randomly counting mitzvahs. Obviously, not every halacha is a mitzvah. So he begins by saying, let's figure out what are the criteria, what qualities does a halacha have to qualify as a mitzvah. And that's how he opens his Sefer HaMitzvahs in an organized way. What counts as a mitzvah? So he says, rule number one, it has to be a mitzvah d'oraisa. It can't be a din d'rabbanan. Din d'rabbanan is certainly binding and very important. We're obligated to keep them. But if the Gemara says, Hashem taught us tarayag mitzvahs through Moshe Rabbeinu, that's obviously talking about, number one, din d'oraisa. Number two, he says, it has to be a pasuk in the Chumash. Has to be Torah Shebichsav, and then he goes on to give another 12 rules as well. And altogether, he says, here are the rules, here are the definition, now let's apply these rules. He applies these rules, working his way through Chumash, and comes out with a total of 613 mitzvahs. Done. Or so he thought. The Rambam felt that he had solved the problem. Here are 14 criteria, 14 rules to know when is a halacha, not just a halacha, but a mitzvah. And he said, I applied these rules consistently, and I came up with 613 mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam felt. The Ramban, though, disagreed. The Ramban has a running critique of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. And every once in a while, he'll say, I don't like the way the Rambam counted this. He shouldn't have counted this. He shouldn't have counted that. Maybe he should have lumped these together as one. He's moving on throughout the Sefer HaMitzvahs, critiquing the Rambam at different points. By the time he's done, he's knocked out many of the mitzvahs that the Rambam counted. And then he says, well, we're short a few. I've knocked out this, I knocked out that, so we're no longer at 613. So the Ramban says there must be other mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count that he should have counted. The Ramban is very polite. He calls them the mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot. HaMitzvah Sheshochach HaRav. He doesn't mean the Rambam forgot, he means the Rambam left them out. And he thinks the Rambam is wrong, but out of respect, says the mitzvah the Rambam forgot. And there's a whole long list. Probably the most famous one is mitzvah Dalid. Mitzvah say number 4, Ramban counts the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Settling Eretz Yisrael, Ramban sees as a mitzvah. Big question, how come the Rambam disagrees? A great conversation for earlier in Chodesh Iyar, but tonight we're going to look at a different one. Not mitzvah 4, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but mitzvah 15. Take a look at the bottom of the Maamar Kamos. The Ramban's Hasagas to Sefer HaMitzvahs. So Ramban says, here's a mitzvah the Rambam left out. Shenitztavinu lehodos l'shmo yizbarach b'chol eisha nikra b'torah. Ramban says there's a mitzvah d'araisa to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu every time we read, every time we learn Torah. al hatova hagadol sha'asa lanu, this great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, besito tarasto eleinu, he gave us his Torah, hodianu ha'masim harutzim lefanav shebehem ninchal chayel haba. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to us, unlike Avram Avinu, who got dropped into this world, then parachuted into this world, had to figure out what he's supposed to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor, he put us in this world, there are plenty of challenges, enormous challenges, but at least he gave us the guidebook. He gave us the map, says, here's the Torah, here are my instructions for how you need to chart out your life. Here are the goals, here are the methods. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of guidance before we, every day before we begin to learn Torah. A mitzvah daraisa, Ramban says, why not count it? It's a mitzvah daraisa, it's a pasuk in Chumash, and as he says, kasher nitztavinu bevracha achar kol achila, the same way we were commanded to make a bracha after we eat bread, kein nitztavinu bezu. So too, we were commanded to say a bracha before we learn Torah. Right? And again, what Gemara is Ramban referencing? The Gemara we saw before, right? The Gemara put them in parallel. There's a bracha daraisa after food. There's a bracha daraisa before learning Torah. So Ramban looks and says, look, we have this Gemara in Makkah, 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam attempted to count them all. The Ramban says he missed a big one. Well, Rambam never counts a mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. He counts a mitzvah of learning Torah. He counts a mitzvah of respecting Talmid Chachamim. But if you open up Hilchos Talmud Torah, there's no mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. Ramban says, I can't understand why. Beferish Gemara. It's a din daraisa. It's a pasuk in Chumash. It has everything the Rambam is looking for. So that's mystery number one. As we said before, In exploring Birkas HaTorah will ultimately give us some big vistas, but we need to start with specific questions. So specific question number one is, why didn't the Rambam count it? Gemara says, mitzvah daraisa, based on pasuk in Chumash, Torah Shebichsav. Ramban counts it as a mitzvah number 15. Why didn't the Rambam count it? That's problem number one. And now I want to take a look with you at a pair of opinions of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch discusses Birkas HaTorah as you see here. Simon Mem Zayin in Aruch Chaim he begins Aruch Chaim with the order of the day. So it starts with waking up in the morning and until Sedayim and Tzitzis and Tefillin and so on and so forth, taking through all the details into the Seder HaTfilah. By the time he gets to chapter 47, Simon Mem Zayin, he's up to the halachas of Birkas HaTorah. So let's take a look at a pair of shitos of the Shulchan Aruch, both of which are interesting, both of which are practical, and both of which are puzzling. The first one is in Sif Dalet, right over here. Let's actually back up a drop. Sif Gimel. Shulchan Aruch writes, Hakosev b'divrei Torah. If a Jew is writing Torah, afa pisha eno kore, he's not saying anything. Tzarech levarech. You do have to make a Birkas HaTorah, whether you're saying the words of Torah or you're expressing it through writing, but I'm expressing words of Torah, I have to make a Birkas HaTorah. Great. So let me ask you a practical question. So this year is we're having this year at night. But imagine the shiur is happening first thing in the morning. Right? Whether it's a Zoom shiur or we should be Zocha soon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us opportunity to return back to our Bate Medrash and Bate Knesses. Right? Whether it's an online shiur or a live shiur, or you're listening to a recorded shiur, you're listening to a Torah podcast, whatever it is, you're on your way to Shacharis, you're pre-Shacharis, and you're listening to a shiur, an early daf shiur, whatever it is. Right? So, I come to shul. Well, let's imagine I come to shul. Something nice to think about. Right? 6:30 minyan. I come to shul at 5:30 for the Amud Yomi Chabura. I come to the shiur at shul at 5:30 for the Daf Yomi Chabura. Right? Or right? Let's say you'd rather daven at the 8:45 minyan. Whatever it is. Right? 8:45 minyan. I show up at shul at 8:00 to learn, to listen to a shiur. When do I say Birkas HaTorah? I would, go listen to the shiur and then and then put on tallis and tefillin and start davening. So normally, I'm going to come learn, and then afterwards I'll put on tallis and tefillin and start saying brachas. Naturally, I would say Birkas HaTorah after the shiur. Is that legitimate? I'm learning for an hour beforehand. I'm listening to a shiur. What do you say? So raise your hand or give me a nod if you think that you should be saying Birkas HaTorah before you go to the shiur. Okay. Not everyone agrees, right? Not everyone agrees. Maybe you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch says something pretty surprising. Hamahai sif dalad. Hamaharer b'divrei Torah enot tzarach levarach. Shulchan Aruch says, if you're thinking and learning, you don't have to make a Birkas HaTorah. So if I'm not speaking, I'm not writing, it's all internal. If it's all internal, then there's no need to say Birkas HaTorah. It's all internal. I'm just thinking about it. So the one who's saying this year, I just muted just because there was some background noise, but obviously feel free at any point to unmute yourself and jump in with questions. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you're the one who's giving this year, or if you're someone who's an active participant speaking up during this year, right? If you're going to unmute yourself and ask questions, if you're speaking and learning, you got to say Birkas HaTorah. But the Shulchan Aruch says, if I'm going to be a passive participant, maybe active in mind, but I'm not planning to speak, I'm going to listen. It's early in the morning. I'm just listening. Right? I'm just listening. Tzach is getting excited about that. Right? So if I'm just listening, so Shulchan Aruch says, no need to say Birkas HaTorah. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. And the Ramah goes on to say, he says, let's take it a step further. Let's say I'm walking into shul. I'm on my way to shul. And a fellow stops me with a shiloh. He's coming out of the early meeting, I'm going to the later meeting, whatever it is. Right? Or he says, Rabbi, look at this tefillin. It got a little bumped. Is it still kosher? Whatever the shaila is. I haven't said Birkas HaTorah yet. Do I have to say, excuse me, let me say Birkas HaTorah, then I'll answer your question? Or can I just answer the question? So the Ramah says, here the Haggah, Hu Adin, Hey, Hu Adin, same is true. D'yacha lifsok din below nesinas tam ludvarv. That you can paskin a shayla without a Birkas HaTorah as long as there's no nesinas tam. If I don't explain, if I'm going to start telling you why, so then I'm talking and learning. So I have to say Birkas HaTorah before I explain myself. But if it's just going to be a yes or no, so the yes or no is not sufficient to qualify as requiring Birkas HaTorah. Now, I'm not just shooting from the hip. I'm thinking things through in my head. But Ramah says, yeah, but here who are thinking, that doesn't require Birkas HaTorah. So you'll ask me a shaila, I'll think about it for a minute or two, and I'll respond. I don't need to make a Birkas HaTorah on the thinking. So that's Shulchan Aruch and Ramah both agree that there's no need for Birkas HaTorah if the Torah learning is only in mind. Now the Be'er HaGra, the bottom of the page, the Be'er HaGra is not a happy camper. Maybe I should have made it larger for the... okay. Maybe I should have zoomed in even for Shulchan Aruch, but certainly for the Be'er HaGra. Let's take a look at this in the little letters. The Vilna Gaon writes here, he says, Shulchan Aruch says, Hamaharer, you're thinking and learning, you don't need to make a bracha. So first he gives you the background of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, yeah, kaimalon lav kedibur dami, brachas dav chaf. He says, yes, the Gemara and brachas has a discussion, Rishon have a discussion whether hirhur kedibur or hirhur lav kedibur is thought like speech or not. There's a mitzvah to say kriyashma. How about if I think kriyashma in my head without saying it? I think a bracha in my head without saying it. Is that legit or is that not legit? So the show, von Villengon said, look, kaimalon, we come to the conclusion, lav kedibur dami. That thinking is not the same as speaking. I can't just think the bracha in my head. I have to say it. I can't just think Kriya Shema in my head. I have to say it. Oh, okay. Hirhur lav kedibur dami. So the Vilna Gaon says, that's the source. He says that's the source for the approach of Shulchan Aruch. He says Tosis and brachas, Gemara and Shabbos about that. But then, and it goes on in terms of details about here. Kadibur Dami, yes, no. Okay, there are areas where thought does count as speech. But then, after all this discussion and all the details, he says, but Kozot Sarachiyun. He says, but I don't understand any of this. The Shulchan Aruch says that thinking and learning is not the same as speaking and learning, and therefore there's no need for a bracha. He says there's a very fundamental premise here that I don't understand. This Kriyashma is a mitzvah to say Kriyashma. Bench is a mitzvah to say the bracha. So the question is, if I think instead of saying it, is that good enough or not? Okay, because there's a requirement of saying. And the question is, does think thought equal speech or not? But he says, why is that relevant to Birkas HaTorah? Kan mevarach al ha-mitzvah. You're not making a bracha on saying Torah. You're making a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'chilek ha-mitzvah behirur? Why does it matter whether thought is the same as speech or not? But there's certainly a mitzvah of thinking and learning. Everyone agrees to that. Now, if not, why are you bothering to listen to the shir? Why do you show up at 5:30 in the morning to come an hour early to shul to do what? To listen to a shir. Why? Is there no, if there's no mitzvah of learning unless you're speaking, then aren't you waste, aren't, everyone here is wasting your time. Everyone in the shir right now, you're all listening to me. Are none of you in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Are you all being mevatel Torah right now because you're not speaking? I hope not. Right? You certainly hope not. Right? The Vilna Gaon says, of course. Halo nemar v'hagisa bo. The famous pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, that's one of the sources, one of the formulations of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, v'hagisa bo yomam v'alayla. What's the verb? To be hogeh. To be hogeh. In modern Hebrew, hogeh deyot is a philosopher, one who thinks about ideas. Says even, but even in classical Hebrew, in biblical Hebrew, a pasuk that we recite at the end of every single Shemona Esrei, Hegyon Libi. Hegyon Libi. Higayon is something that takes, Higayon, modern Hebrew, and even in medieval Hebrew, Higayon is logic. But Higayon, in the language of Tanakh, is certainly something that's happening in the heart, in the mind. Hegyon Halev. The Hagisa Boyom Valayla doesn't mean to speak in Torah day and night. It means to think in Torah day and night. So the Vilna Gaon says, I don't understand the Shulchan Aruch. Why does it matter whether Hirur Kedibur or Lav Kedibur? Whether thought is like speech or not like speech, it's irrelevant. Talmud Torah is not a mitzvah of speech. Kriya Shema is a mitzvah of speech. Birk Zama is a mitzvah of speech. But Talmud Torah is a mitzvah of thought. Maybe it's certainly it's enhanced when you discuss it. Things are clarified when you're multimodal, when you have conversation. Obviously, there's value to talking and learning, but you're mekayim the mitzvah whether you talk or not. All of us on this call right now are in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, assuming I'm making any sense. Right? If I'm making any sense, then we're all in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even though most of us aren't speaking. So the Vilna Gaon says, why wouldn't you make a Birkas HaTorah on this? He says, I understand the whole premise of Hirur Kedibur, Lav Kedibur, who cares? The mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So Vilna Gaon says, Shulchan Aruch is very, very difficult. And it is very difficult. So far we have two problems. Problem number one is that the Rambam never counted the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. What's wrong? Right? Gemara and Brachas, Daf Chaf Aleph, Pasuk and Chumash, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Mitzvah Daraisa, Pasuk and Chumash, it seems to qualify. The Ramban thought it qualified. The Ramban was bothered. How come the Ramban didn't count it? Good question. Question number two. The Shulchan Aruch says, and the Ramah agrees, no bracha on learning unless you're actually speaking and learning or writing. But if it's just in your head, no bracha. The Vilna Gaon says, what do you mean no bracha? There's certainly a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So why wouldn't you make a bracha in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah just because you're not speaking? Strange. And then there's our third kasha. Is another opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. If you turn the page, here we just turn the page virtually, the Shulchan Aruch, the very last Sif, we were looking before at Sif Dalid in Siman Mem Zayin, paragraph 4, now we move to paragraph 14. Here's Sif Yud Dalid, the very end of Hilchas Birkas HaTorah. Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim mevarchos birkas haTorah. Women say birkas haTorah. If women are not obligated to learn Torah every single day, Jewish men have an obligation to learn Torah every single day. Jewish women, men and women share the obligation to know Torah and to be competent in keeping halacha. But Jewish women are not obligated to learn Torah on a daily basis, but they certainly can volunteer to do so. And if a woman plans to learn Torah, Nashim Mevarchos Birkas HaTorah. Shacharach says, if a woman plans to learn, she is obligated to recite Birkas HaTorah before her learning, at some point in the morning, or at some point before she learns, same as a man. Okay. Now, is that surprising? Is that surprising? And by the way, what's the source? Where does this come from? See the little letter Kuf that sends you to the Be'er HaGola on the top corner in the teeny tiny letters? Okay. I believe the Be'er HaGola was the great-grandfather of the Vilna Gaon. See, he gives, the Vilna Gaon followed his ancestor, the Be'er HaGola, in seeking to put together the sources for the Shulchan Aruch. The Be'er HaGola is very, very, very terse. He says it's an augur b'shem Mari Mullin. Okay, an augur b'shem Maril. It's some of the late, very late Ashkenazi Rishonim in the 1400s. They're the ones who codify that women are obligated in Birkas HaTorah if they plan to learn Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch is quoting them. Okay, so at first glance, nothing surprising. But once again, let's take a look at the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon says, same as he did before, he says, well, it doesn't seem surprising at first, until he starts to chew on it a little more. Okay. Bum, 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 bum. So here the post can point out, that there's a problem with the Shulchan Aruch. And the problem with the Shulchan Aruch, Vilna Gaon says he has many kashas in the Shulchan Aruch. He has many, many kashas in the Shulchan Aruch. So he gets involved in the question of, one question that he raises is what are you going to do about women should be learning, women should not be learning, how much should women be learning? Vilna Gaon raises that question. Okay. But then there's another problem. And another problem is as follows. The Shulchan Aruch quoted the Ugger. The Shulchan Aruch quoted an Ashkenazi Rishon. Nothing very surprising there. Here's the problem. There's a machlokas between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Can you make a Birkas HaMitzvah when you're volunteering a mitzvah? It's quoted most famously in Hilchos Shofar. It's a machlokas Tosfos and the Rambam, Ashkenazi Tosfos with the Sephardi Rambam, and several generations later, several centuries later, machlokas the Sephardi Shulchan Aruch and the Ashkenazi Rambam. If a woman is listening to Tkiyah Shofar, so women are technically speaking not obligated in Tkiyah Shofar, it's a mitzvah that Jewish women have probably for at least a millennium been actively volunteering to hear Shofar Rosh Hashanah, but strictly speaking, Mitzvah Sei Shazman Grama, women are paturos. But a woman goes to hear shofar. Let's say they have the tekiah shofar after shul, for the women who couldn't hear shofar during davening. You make a bracha on that or no? Or a woman picks up a lulav on sukkahs. So she's not mechuyevus, not obligated, Mitzvah Sei Shazman Grama, but certainly if she volunteers lulav, she's mekayemus, eina mitzvah, she's mekayemus a mitzvah lulav. Does she make a bracha? A woman sits there, eats in sukkah, not obligated, but she volunteers to sit in sukkah, beautiful. Does she make a bracha? So Ashkenazi women do. Sephardi women do not. The reason is, there's a machlokas, as I said before, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, Tosus, Rambam, Rama, Shulchan Aruch. Can you make a bracha on a mitzvah that you're not commanded on? Can you say Vitzivanu? I say Vitzivanu. Asher Kishon Zosav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows the Kedusha by through mitzvahs. That's certainly applicable. Vitzivanu, and he commanded us XYZ, whatever the mitzvah is. So the Rambam, yeah, Tzachi. The That's probably subject to the same machlokas. It's probably subject to the same machlokas. Right? If I'm not obligated to do the mitzvah, I'm not obligated. I got to take a look in Hilchos Milah. I don't remember. But often there should be the same machlokas. I'm not obligated to do a particular mitzvah, but I'm volunteering. So it's meaningful to volunteer, but it may not call for a bracha because it may be inaccurate to say v'tzivano. God didn't command me to do this. I'm volunteering to do this. So that's the Sfaradi position, is you can only make a Birkas HaMitzvah on a mitzvah you're obligated to do. If you're volunteering a mitzvah, it's beautiful, but no bracha. And the Ashkenazi position is no. You're not mechuyev to do the mitzvah, but should you choose to volunteer the mitzvah, you're obligated to say a bracha. And v'tzivanu doesn't mean God commanded me. Ashkenazi position is probably v'tzivanu means Hashem commanded the Jewish people in this mitzvah. Right? I'm off the hook, but overall the Jewish people are obligated. So that, again, that's a machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, Shulchan Aruch and Rama, by shofar, by sukkah, by lulav, and how about by Birkas HaTorah? So that's what the post can point out. What do you make of this psak of the Shulchan Aruch? Nashim Mevarkos Birkas HaTorah. He was coined the Agur, as we saw. Yeah, the Agur was an Ashkenazi. So, of course, the Agur said the woman is not mechuyevet to learn Torah every single day, but if she volunteers, she should say a bracha. The Agur's wife also said a bracha when she heard shofar. The Agur's wife also said a bracha if she chose to shake lulav and sukkah. But this is the Shulchan Aruch we're talking about here. Shulchan Aruch, the Sfaradi, he holds that if a woman, if a Sfaradiyah volunteers to hear shofar, that's beautiful, but no bracha. She volunteers to shake lulav, to sit in sukkah, it's beautiful, but no bracha. So how come all of a sudden, if a Sfaradiyah volunteers to learn Torah today, she does make a bracha? So another strange psak of the Shulchan Aruch. And again, so the Shulchan Aruch's two psakim both seem out of place in opposite directions. What we just took a look at now, it seems like there's surprisingly too much Birkas HaTorah, right? We would have thought the Shulchan Aruch would say Sfaradi women volunteer to learn Torah, that's beautiful, but no bracha. But no, they do make a bracha. Why? Why is it different than shofar, sukkah, and lulav? And on the other hand, earlier in Sif Dalet, there was not enough Birkas HaTorah, right? We would have expected that what does it matter whether you're speaking or thinking? Either way, this should be a Birkas HaTorah. And the Shulchan Aruch said, no Birkas HaTorah. So Shulchan Aruch surprisingly says women do make a Birkas HaTorah, and the Shulchan Aruch surprisingly says women do not make that men or women do not make a Birkas HaTorah if you're merely thinking. So that's a surprising pair of psakim by the Shulchan Aruch. And the Brisker Rav quotes his father, Reb Chaim. It's one of the only times that in the Brisker Rav Sefer he quotes his father. He quotes his father in the one piece he has in Hilchos Brachos. He talks about this issue. And he says, it is a very terse presentation of Reb Chaim. Let me give you the more elaborate, unpacked version. Reb Chaim said, think about that first question the Vilna Gaon had. Vilna Gaon said that what? Right. Who cares whether you're speaking, you're not speaking? There's a mekayim mitzvah of Talmud Torah either way. You don't have to be speaking to have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. After all, this is what the Vilna Gaon said. The mitzvah is to think, whether you speak or not. The mitzvah is to think. Whatever helps you think best. You want to learn from the say for yourself, say it out loud, read it quietly. So Reb Chaim said that in both problems of the Shulchan Aruch, the difficulty of both of these Psakim Shulchan Aruch is based on the assumption that this bracha is a Birkas HaMitzvah. If it's a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so on the one hand, there's a mitzvah whether you're speaking or not, so we surprising that the Shulchan Aruch limits Birkas HaTorah to spoken, expressed Torah. And on the other hand, if it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, then the approach of the Sfaradim, like the Shulchan Aruch, is no Birkas HaMitzvah unless you're obligated. So we're not sure why the Shulchan Aruch obligates women to say Birkas HaTorah. Reb Chaim said that was the position of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was assuming that Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvah. But let's go back to the language of the Ramban. We had the beginning. And when the Ramban said, yes, we count Talmud Torah, you see, the Birkas HaTorah is one of the mitzvahs, we should count one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Though he was talking about praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a gift, to appreciate that Talmud Torah is his gift, that in giving us Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to enrich our lives, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to live beyond today, to live beyond the Olam HaZeh, to be crafting our Olam Haba as we go through the day-to-day living of Olam HaZeh. That was the poetic language of the Ramban about Birkas HaTorah. That's not a Birkas HaMitzvah. There are different categories, as we know, of brachas. There are brachas on food, brachas on pleasure, Birkas HaNanin. There are Birkas HaMitzvah. And then there are Birkas Shevach Vahoda. Brachas where we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? There's no mitzvah to hear thunder, no mitzvah to see lightning. Seeing the Alps is not one of the Tariq mitzvahs. But when I come across the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, when I'm struck by something in the world that reminds me of the awesome creative power of Ribbono Shel'olam, I say bracha, Osa Masa Bracious, Shekochu Gvrasa Malei Olam, so on and so forth. Right? I come across a place that reminds me historically that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Klal Yisrael in this place, Sha'asa Nisim Lav Oseinu. Birkas Shevach Vahoda, that third category of brachas, responding to what the moment, what that sight, what that sound inspires within me, a sense of the majesty of Ribbono Shel Olam. So the way several Achronim explain Reb Chaim, for the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch lines up with the Ramban. Birkas HaTorah isn't Birkas HaMitzvah, not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's on the encounter with Torah. You come face to face with Talmud Torah, you're struck by the beauty of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. It's not only the Alps and the oceans, it's not only the evergreens, you see, it's not only the redwoods that inspire us to an Osa Masa Bracious. When we see something majestic about the physical creation, Osa Masa Bracious. Sometimes we make a bracha when we see something spiritually majestic, a spiritual gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us. You know, many Rishonim are of the opinion that the bracha we say under the chuppah, the Birkas Erisin, Asar Lanos Aros, Usos, Hitchelos, and Asuos, some Rishonim hold that's also not a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a bracha on the gift of Jewish marriage. We're taken by the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives opportunity to sanctify our lives, to inject Kedusha into what would otherwise just be at best neutral. Such a gift, that's something that calls for a Birkas Shevach Vahoda. So Reb Chaim suggests this too, a Birkas Shevach Vahoda, the gift of Torah. So it's not a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud, on the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. It's a mitzvah on it's a bracha on the gift, on the encounter with Talmud Torah, what it inspires us to think of. So those are two very different types of brachas. For the Vilna Gaon, it's a Birkas HaMitzvah, but for the Shulchan Aruch, for the Ramban, it's a Birkas Shevach Vahoda. So as a Birkas Shevach Vahoda, on the one hand, women are chayavos in Birkas Torah. Yeah, they're not obligated to learn. That's true. I'm also not obligated to see the Alps. But if I see the Alps, I'm struck by the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I make a bracha. So if a woman volunteers to learn Torah, so she can make a Birkas Shevach Vahoda in reaction to the gift of Torah. And on the other hand, one can argue that it's true that I fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah just by thinking about it. But in terms of the sense of encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's more encounter the more I'm personally involved. Right? If I'm just passively listening, passively thinking, if I'm not as active, it's not as much of a, it's not as rich an encounter. You know, if you listen to a recording of thunder, you don't make a bracha. You only make a bracha when, you know, you're hearing it in its fullness. So if it's a Vilna Gaon said it's a Birkas HaMitzvah. So what does it matter? I'm talking, I'm listening, I'm thinking, mitzvah. But the Shulchan Aruch said no. It's on the encounter. It's on the experience. So the experience is much richer whether I'm expressing it verbally or, as he said, if I'm expressing it in writing, if I'm active and I'm expressing Torah, that's when there's a full enough experience that calls for a bracha. That calls for a bracha. Is Reb Chaim assuming Shulchan Aruch holds Ramban? Yes. Right, exactly. Reb Chaim seems to think that the Shulchan Aruch aligns with the Ramban. Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. As a matter of fact, Tosas discussed that Maseches Brachas. They have something very intriguing. Maybe we'll even take a look at that inside next week. Tosas says that fundamentally a Jew is always meant to be connected to learning. I may take a break for 8 hours. I may take a break for 12 hours at the office. But at my core, this is where I'm at. I'm taking a break from learning to do. Learning is on pause to do other things. But it's on pause. I didn't stop. I paused. Which says it's a lot to think about. Now I want to encapsulate where we're at now, and what we've already developed, and then leave you with some questions that we'll seek to deal with next week. What we've developed so far. Is that there are two perspectives on the mitzvah on the idea of Birkas HaTorah. There are two perspectives on the chiyuv of Birkas HaTorah. What sort of bracha is it? There are categories for brachas. So it appears, Reb Chaim suggests, that Rishonim, Achronim are debating where does Birkas HaTorah fit? Is it a Birkas HaMitzvah? After all, it begins, Asher Kedisham Sosev Etzivanu. Right? It begins like a Birkas HaMitzvah, but then it starts getting very poetic. A Birkas HaMitzvah usually is a one-liner. Sher Kishon So Tzivano, Al Tvilas Kelim. Sher Kishon So Tzivano, L'shmo Kol Shofar. Right? Quick, to the point. Bracha Kitzara. But Birkas HaTorah starts that way, but then V'harivna, and Asher Bachar Banu. So Birkas HaTorah, even just looking at the language of Birkas HaTorah, sort of like a half and half. It starts like a Birkas HaMitzvah, but then sort of gets into Birkas Shevach V'Hodah type of language. So it would appear that there's a machlokas, which is the primary identity of Birkas HaTorah. Is it basically a Birkas HaMitzvah, just a little more expansive? Or is it basically a Birkas Shevach V'Hodah, but it does relate to a mitzvah, so we use the language Sher Kishon V'Tzivah. And we saw that, as Reb Chaim explains, that gives meaning to these double machlokas, the double psak of a Shulchan Aruch, about thinking and learning, and about whether or not women should recite a Birkas HaTorah in advance of their learning. One question remains. We have not yet, we're going to pick up with this next week, we have not yet dealt with how come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah of the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah? We had opened with that, and we saw the Ramban fits in nicely. Where the Rambam fits in, that's an open question. Next time also, we're going to take a look at a very intriguing Gemara. Gemara actually has a debate about which parts of Torah call for Birkas HaTorah. We sort of take it for granted that if you learn in Torah, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, it doesn't really matter what. The Gemara actually has a four-way machlokas in Brachos Daf Yud Aleph, which parts of Talmud Torah call for Birkas HaTorah. Very puzzling Gemara, but it may hold the key to a lot of what's going on here. So Mishnah next time we'll continue to work with this idea of the two perspectives on Birkas HaTorah. We'll see how it applies to whether or not Birkas HaTorah is a mitzvah, which parts of Torah fall under the purview of a Birkas HaTorah. But let me leave you with one final point for now. Something right to begin to think about now in terms of the hashkafa that flows from this is the notion of two perspectives on Birkas HaTorah, whether it's a Birkas HaMitzvah on the obligation to learn or Birkas Shevach HaHodah on the gift of learning. As I said before, the language of the bracha itself, sort of a blend of both. So maybe there's a halachic machlokas as to which identity is primary. But both point to true facets of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Everyone agrees, on the one hand, Torah is an obligation. On the other hand, Torah is a gift, an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the business and pleasure of Talmud Torah, the stipler actually speaks not about Birkas HaVodah, but Birkas HaNenin. Is it a bracha on the mitzvah, or is it a bracha on the joy? And I leave you with a comment of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. The Gemara in Tanis, Dav Zayin, quotes from Yishayahu Anavi that Torah is compared to three liquids: water, milk, and wine. What's that all about? What's the significance of that? It happens to be he uses three different beverages in his poetic description of Torah. But why is it? Was the Gemara seeing that as though that's somehow a set? So I believe Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky many, many years ago quoted from Aaron Lichtenstein that they're meant to be a set. Because water is essential for an adult. Milk is essential for a child. Wine is just the opposite. Wine is not an essential, but wine is a symbol of luxury. And what the Gemara is capturing is Talmud Torah is both a spiritual necessity and the greatest spiritual luxury. It's both business and pleasure. Sometimes I learn only out of a sense of obligation. I don't always enjoy it. Sometimes I just learn because I need it, because it's the water, the milk of my life. But at the same time, I strive to appreciate Torah as the wine of my life as well, the business and pleasure of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, the chiyuv, the mitzvah, the Birkas HaMitzvah perspective of Birkas HaTorah, and Talmud Torah as pleasure, as gift, as an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Birkas Sheva V'Odah aspect of Birkas HaTorah. Chevra, thank you so much for coming and for joining me to learn together. Once again, a special welcome to David, who joins us for the first time. It's a covet to have you with us. I'm glad you made the trek over from the Five Towns. And Billy Netter, we will continue this sugya next week.